Welcome to the official Equine Affair podcast. This podcast is your inside look at everything to do with Equine Affair, from special events to exclusive interviews with top equine professionals and a whole lot more. I am your host, Allison Renborg, and today we are focusing on the International Liberty Horse Association. Before the 2020 Equine Affair in Massachusetts was postponed, we had planned to showcase an ILHA competition. But don't worry, we're already planning to bring the ILHA competition to Equine Affair in Ohio in 2021, and that's what today's episode is all about. Stay tuned for my interview with some very special guests coming up next. Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Equine Affair podcast. As I mentioned in our introduction, today's show is all about the International Liberty Horse Association, which was founded by world-renowned Liberty trainer Dan James of Double Dan Horsemanship and his wife Elizabeth James to promote the discipline of Liberty. Dan and Elizabeth are my special guests today, so let's give a warm welcome to them. Hi, guys.
Hey, Mike. Hey.
How are you today?
Good. Traveling, but great to be on the show with you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, so happy to have you both on here. I know our listeners are going to be super excited to hear from you. So let's dive in. Clearly, you're both trainers and you both love Liberty work. So to start us off, can you each share what fascinates you about Liberty training or what makes this particular discipline so special to you both?
Well, I think since I learned everything I know about Liberty from Dan, I'll probably let him go first.
Well, that's maybe a little bit of a stretch, sweetheart, but okay. I think that for me, the fascination of Liberty started out seeing a lot of the old horse movies and horse films. And, I think if we kind of look back through history, it really stems from both old European circus and also from essentially Hollywood. So I always had an interest in, the Liberty horses and, how that it came together and but could never have imagined that it would have grown to where that it currently is with Elizabeth being the driving force behind starting the association.
Yeah, and that's so right. So much of what we see in the movies is Liberty training, whether we maybe realize it or not. So Elizabeth, your turn. So what fascinates you about Liberty?
Yeah, I think Liberty is one of those unique disciplines that anytime that you watch it, whether it's a performance or, like Dan said, or in the movies, I think you have two feelings. One, like you're totally in awe of the things that people and trainers can get horses to do. And then number two, you want to be able to do it or figure out how to do it. And so I really love it. It's similar to training in that training is training, but it's a completely different and unique discipline. And I think everyone who loves horses, there's always new and different things that you can do with them and learn with them. And that's one of the things I love about Liberty. I mean, Dan always says, I don't think that there's a beginning, a middle, and we don't really know where the end is with Liberty, nor have we even probably gotten close to what horses can do. And I think that's kind of what's most exciting about it.
Absolutely. So like you and I were talking about before we started, there's never an end to learning in the horse industry. There's always something new, no matter what discipline you're in. So I think that's so cool that you're both really interested in educating yourselves and just pushing the limits of knowledge. And so how did that lead you to found the ILHA?
I think that's one of the neatest parts of the ILHA was really, Dan does Liberty clinics all over, and both he and Dan Steers have done that for years. And one of the things, just kind of sitting back and watching them, their clients and customers, they come back year after year. And I started to notice that at the beginning of every clinic, they were so excited to show Dan what they'd worked on from the last time they'd had a clinic with him or the last time that they had a lesson with him. And they were so excited to show, what new tricks they had or, what thing that they had perfected that they'd gone away after the last clinic and worked on. And it really kind of dawned on me one day that really outside of showing him, there was nowhere for them to showcase what they did. And they loved it and they put so much work into it. But, horse people are crazy. We're the only ones ones that'll pay people to judge us. But, you know, so there wasn't really any kind of outlet for them. And then I think the other part of it was watching Dan go through the experience of being the World Equestrian Games competitor and the camaraderie between not just competitors on the same teams, but in the same discipline. I mean, watching him ride with other reining trainers and seeing that, I really kind of noticed there with Liberty there, that's kind of lacking. There's not really that opportunity for Liberty trainers to get together and really learn from each other and practice and compete. And so, you know, those two ideas kind of are what gave birth to the whole idea of having a Liberty Horse Association just focused on it as a discipline.
That's great, because I mean, that's ultimately the goal of most equine associations is providing that space where people can collaborate and learn from each other.
Yep.
What are you all hoping to achieve with the association? What is your mission?
The short answer for me is to continue to see like the art of Liberty, you know, grow and, you know, just for the people to become aware of firstly, you know, Liberty, and then secondly, like the association that gives people a platform to be able to have that expression with their horses. You know, that's what we're sort of, you know, I guess all in it for, is to see those horses and people grow in developing their partnership in working together.
So let's talk about the competition, because we were, before Equine Affair this fall got postponed, we were of course hoping to have an ILHA competition there, and we're looking forward to doing it next year. But let's talk about that. What's special or unique about those competitions? What do they look like?
You know, I think that what is going to be so exciting, we do have the opportunity to be back there at Equine Affair and get to run this competition, is that we've taken like a compulsory pattern, which has obviously set movements and maneuvers in it, then followed by the freestyle element of it. And of course, you know, one of the things that has been a draw card for many people for a long time is any time that it gets to being freestyle. And having the two of them work together is going to, you know, allow competitors and judges, I think, to have the best opportunity to go through, do their compulsory, get the required movements out of the way, so to speak, and then be able to go in and, you know, really use that artistic and imagination of presenting, you know, an act to the audience and to the judges. And I think on that format, it's going to be very, very special and unique.
And what are some examples of the compulsory maneuvers that you were talking about?
So some of those examples, you know, it would be that the horses and trainers are required to, let's say, you know, have the horse work around them at Liberty at two small circles, followed by two large circles. Mm-hmm. At obviously all different speeds that are, you know, set by the pattern. And the accuracy, just like you would see in dressage and reining, is very critical in earning, you know, points throughout that pattern, along with, you know, a stop, demonstrating the horse can stop on cue, that the trainer or, you know, horse person can walk around that horse while the horse waits patiently. So it's, again, you know, we look at things like the accuracy, the partnership, the communication of the horse and person working together. In some of the other patterns, you know, we obviously have other movements such as, you know, lead changes, which are both from under saddle and from the ground. We have it, you know, a lay down, a rear, you know, numerous different movements that you would typically only see in a freestyle deal, but the freestyle section will be where that people have that, you know, right to express any of those other, you know, unique movements or maneuvers that they've taught their horse.
And so are there different levels of competition? So, you know, beginner to advanced, you know, who all can participate in this, you know, in terms of their skill levels?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the most exciting things about that is there are, you know, within each of the types of Liberty. I mean, so there's everything from lead line to obstacles to Liberty teams to bareback and bridleless, just bridleless. And within each of those, there's everything from novice, I think it's novice, intermediate, distinguished, and advanced. So there's four levels within each of those. And then we have youth. I think our youngest competitor last year was nine, everything up until pro and non-pro, and then the senior division. And I think one of our competitors last year at the championship show was 76. And so what's so awesome is not just to see the age range or the ability, you know, people that are just starting out that are still on a lead line but are working in that direction, to the, you know, high-end people that already have performances and have done this for a long time, but also just for the horses. I mean, we had, I think, over 19 different breeds represented at our first show in 2019, and just the variety of the horses and what they're able to do, their background, and just the doors it opens for them. Some of them aren't ridden or haven't ever been ridden, but are these, you know, high-end, high-level Liberty horses. And so it's really exciting to see the diversity, both for competitors and trainers, but also for horses.
Well, that diversity is, you know, just like you said, the age range, the skill level, the backgrounds, the types of horses. I think that's fascinating. And it sort of underlines that this is not a one discipline for one type of person or rider. This is a discipline that pretty much almost anyone could start in and learn and develop.
Yeah, I think one of the neatest things is to see a class where you have everything from a mini to a gypsy vanner competing across an even platform, and neither of them have an advantage or disadvantage. And I think that that's really unlike any other discipline. And it's kind of just such a neat thing to see when you get to see it in person, or when people are talking about their horse or their breed. You know, it's really open to all of them, and they all have a level playing field when it comes to just to Liberty.
And so sort of a fun question here is, but what are, and you can take turns answering this, but what are your favorite maneuvers to do when you're doing Liberty with your own horses? You know, what's your favorite, you know, task to do?
You know, I would say that there's probably nothing quite like the Liberty Roman riding. That would be probably, as in terms of my Liberty work and horsemanship work, what I would feel is probably one of my greatest accomplishments. You know, being at that point where you're standing up at those horses with no pads, no bridles, you know, just the one dressage with, you know, cueing those horses to, you know, trot and canter circles, and to be standing up there in the midst of doing it. Like, for me, there's been nothing like that else that I've done.
Definitely. And it's so fun to watch, just personally speaking, to watch that happen is kind of mind blowing. So what about you, Elizabeth?
Yeah, mine definitely is not that. No, I think I'm like all horse people, being able to teach a horse to lay down. I swear everyone of every discipline that comes to any of Dan's clinics, it's like the number one thing that they ask to learn about. And having taught my own horse that, there's just something so cool about having this huge, you know, 1200 pound animal lay down and then relax and spread out or roll over or whatever they decide to do. So that's probably my favorite one.
Yeah. And that one, like I've seen that done as well, probably by Dan at past exhibitions. And that's also special. You know, I can't really think of one Liberty maneuver that isn't just sort of, it's so exciting that it makes you sort of lose your breath, honestly, like from the Roman riding to laying down to the rearing, of course, and all this sort of more dramatic tasks. But it's all just fascinating from a, you know, from a non-Liberty horseman point of view. I've never gotten to do it myself, but I love watching it.
I think one of the most fascinating parts for me from the show last year was we added obstacles, and so we add them obviously on lead line, but we offered an obstacle course at Liberty. Mm-hmm. And I remember Dan and I were looking at each other, even just going into the show, and we're like, is this whole show going to be horses just running off?
Mm-hmm.
And thankfully it wasn't, but then we're like, you know, let's just throw some obstacles out there and see it. And I mean, if you go back and look at the footage, even just sitting there watching that class and watching horses come out and do obstacles completely at Liberty that people struggle to get them to do in ridden work,
right,
was just so cool to see those horses, you know, problem solving and doing it and choosing to do it. And you know, they were some pretty advanced obstacles, especially for being at Liberty. So I think that was one of the probably most unexpected and probably understand things that came out of that show and that people have done in their backyards, of getting horses to do so many different obstacle type work completely at Liberty.
Oh yeah. That's amazing. Like, to think about that level of trust and cueing and control. with the competition that'll happen at Equine Affair next year, do you foresee doing obstacle courses there?
In terms of the classes that we do run at Equine Affair, obviously the freestyle one is one that is always extremely popular, but I also know from, you know, judging and also watching the Versatile Horse and Rider there, that people love the challenge of obstacles and how that they're able to go through and, you know, see the completion of them. So, you know, who knows, maybe that's something that gets put in.
Right. Definitely the future is exciting, and we'll just have to see when we get there. But I, for one, am really excited about that idea. So what are you all most excited about with regard to the competition at Equine Affair next year? What are you hoping that accomplishes?
I think that, again, it comes back to Alison about just the awareness of both Liberty and also, you know, the association. You know, I think that most horse people in general are kind of like, you know, a little familiar with Liberty. But I think that, you know, educating people that, hey, there is an association where they can go and do this, you know, going to Equine Affair and getting to see this is going to be super special. It's going to be like one of the, you know, outside of just the Liberty Horse Show itself, at an actual event, will be the first time that someone will get to witness that firsthand. And I think then also making sure that people understand that there are resources, you know, out there, that the stuff that they're seeing is achievable. Like, it isn't just, you know, a far off distant, you know, thought or a dream. Like, the things that are offered at the Liberty Horse Association in the classes are very, very achievable for everybody and horses.
Right. So making Liberty more accessible, which I think is a great goal. And really that's what Equine Affair is about, is making horses accessible to everybody. So I think these two organizations kind of fit in really well together. So I'm excited to see, not only to see Equine Affair in Ohio again, because we've got fingers crossed that that event can take place, but also seeing the ILHA competition there. So we're about out of time. How can people learn more about ILHA?
You know, of course, through our social media networking, which is, because Facebook, Instagram, and then, of course, through the website. The website, has a lot of details on it, on both the classes. You can view the patterns. And one of the great things that have been worked on right now is the ability to be able to become a judge. And even if you're not interested in maybe becoming a judge, you could go through and do the judge's school and be able to see what the judges are looking for from the judge's perspective. So that's always a great tool if you're looking at getting into, you know, competition, or just want to have a better understanding of, you know, how and why that the, you know, how it works out. So of course the website and our social media are probably the best way to go about, getting that information.
Perfect. Well, thank you both so much for joining us today, and we will see you at Equine Affair in Ohio in 2021.
Can't wait. See you there.
Thanks for joining us for the official Equine Affair podcast. I'm your host, Alison Renborg. Equine Affair gratefully acknowledges its sponsors, Absorbine, U.S. Equestrian, Rods, Farnham, Cosequin, Neutrina, Cashman's, Horizon Structures, and GGT Footing. We hope you'll join us for Equine Affair in Ohio on April 8th through the 11th, 2021, at the Ohio Expo Center in Columbus, Ohio. We're also excited to be back at the Eastern States Exposition in West Springfield, Massachusetts, on November 11th through 14th, 2021. You can buy tickets, see the full event schedules, and all the latest news at equineaffair.com. And finally, catch up on all our past podcast episodes online by visiting wdlrradio.com/equine-affair.